The Law of Real Property by John Bouvier. Books.Kim, free summaries of best-selling books. Download PDF and MP3 versions of the summary from www.books.kim. Summary. The Law of Real Property by John Bouvier is a comprehensive guide to the legal aspects of real estate. It covers the fundamentals of real estate law, including the nature of real property, the rights and duties of owners, and the remedies available to those who have been wronged. It also covers the various types of real estate transactions, such as sales, leases, mortgages, and easements. The book also provides an overview of the legal aspects of zoning, taxation, and environmental regulations. The book begins by discussing the nature of real property, including the different types of property, the rights and duties of owners, and the remedies available to those who have been wronged. It then covers the various types of real estate transactions, such as sales, leases, mortgages, and easements. It also provides an overview of the legal aspects of zoning, taxation, and environmental regulations. The book then goes on to discuss the various types of real estate transactions, such as sales, leases, mortgages, and easements. It also covers the legal aspects of zoning, taxation, and environmental regulations. It also provides an overview of the various types of real estate contracts, such as purchase agreements, leases, and mortgages. The book then goes on to discuss the various types of real estate disputes, such as boundary disputes, title disputes, and landlord-tenant disputes. It also covers the remedies available to those who have been wronged, such as damages, injunctions, and specific performance. It also provides an overview of the various types of real estate litigation, such as quiet title actions, partition actions, and foreclosure actions. The book concludes by discussing the various types of real estate transactions, such as sales, leases, mortgages, and easements. It also provides an overview of the legal aspects of zoning, taxation, and environmental regulations. It also provides an overview of the various types of real estate contracts, such as purchase agreements, leases, and mortgages. Finally, it provides an overview of the various types of real estate disputes, such as boundary disputes, title disputes, and landlord-tenant disputes. Main ideas. Main idea number one. Estates. An estate is an interest in land that is held by a person or entity. It is the right to possess, use, and enjoy the land for a certain period of time. Estates can be divided into two categories, freehold and non-freehold. Estates are an important concept in real property law. An estate is an interest in land that is held by a person or entity. It is the right to possess, use, and enjoy the land for a certain period of time. Estates can be divided into two categories, freehold and non-freehold. Freehold estates are those that are held for an indefinite period of time, while non-freehold estates are those that are held for a limited period of time. Freehold estates are further divided into two types, fee simple and life estates. Fee simple estates are the most common type of freehold estate and are held in perpetuity. Life estates are held for the life of the holder, and upon the holder's death, the estate reverts back to the original owner. Non-freehold estates are also divided into two types, leasehold and tenancy. Leasehold estates are held for a specific period of time, usually for a set number of years. Tenancy estates are held for a period of time that is determined by the tenant's use of the property. Estates are an important concept in real property law, and understanding the different types of estates is essential for anyone who is involved in real estate transactions. Main idea number two. Freehold estates. Freehold estates are those that have an indefinite duration and are not subject to termination by the act of any person. They include fee simple, fee tail, and life estates. Freehold estates are those that have an indefinite duration and are not subject to termination by the act of any person. They are the most secure form of ownership, as they are not subject to the whims of another party. Fee simple is the most common type of freehold estate, and it is an estate of inheritance that is freely transferable and has no limitations on its duration. Fee tail is a type of freehold estate that is limited to a particular line of descent, and it is not freely transferable. Life estates are freehold estates that are limited to the life of the grantee, and they are not freely transferable either. Freehold estates are the most secure form of ownership, as they are not subject to the whims of another party. They are also the most common form of ownership, as they are freely transferable and have no limitations on their duration. They are also the most desirable form of ownership, as they provide the grantee with the most control over the property. Freehold estates are also the most expensive form of ownership, as they require the payment of taxes and other fees. Main idea number 3. Fee simple. Fee simple is the most common type of freehold estate and is an absolute and unconditional ownership of land. It is the most extensive estate that can be held in land and is freely transferable. Fee simple is the most common type of freehold estate and is an absolute and unconditional ownership of land. It is the most extensive estate that can be held in land and is freely transferable. This means that the owner of the fee simple estate has the right to possess, use, and dispose of the land as they wish, subject to any applicable laws. The owner of a fee simple estate also has the right to transfer the estate to another person, either through sale, gift, or inheritance. The owner of a fee simple estate also has the right to pass the estate on to their heirs upon their death. The fee simple estate is the most comprehensive form of ownership of land and is the most desirable form of ownership. It gives the owner the right to possess, use, and dispose of the land as they wish, and it also gives them the right to transfer the estate to another person. The fee simple estate is also the most secure form of ownership, as it is not subject to any conditions or limitations. This means that the owner of the fee simple estate has the right to possess, use, and dispose of the land as they wish, without any restrictions or limitations. The fee simple estate is also the most desirable form of ownership because it is the most secure form of ownership. It is not subject to any conditions or limitations, and it gives the owner the right to possess, use, and dispose of the land as they wish. This means that the owner of the fee simple estate has the right to transfer the estate to another person, either through sale, gift, or inheritance. The fee simple estate is also the most desirable form of ownership because it is the most secure form of ownership, and it gives the owner the right to possess, use, and dispose of the land as they wish. Main idea number 4. Fee tail. Fee tail is a freehold estate that is limited to a particular line of heirs. It is not freely transferable and is subject to termination upon the death of the holder. Fee tail is a freehold estate that is limited to a particular line of heirs. It is not freely transferable and is subject to termination upon the death of the holder. This type of estate is created when a grantor conveys land to a grantee and specifies that the grantee and his or her heirs shall have the right to possess and enjoy the land for as long as they live. The grantor also specifies that the land shall pass to a particular line of heirs upon the death of the grantee. This line of heirs is usually the grantee's children, but it can also be the grantee's siblings, parents, or other relatives. The purpose of a fee tail is to ensure that the land remains in the family and is not sold or transferred to someone outside of the family. This type of estate is also known as an entailed estate or a fee tail estate. It is important to note that a fee tail estate is not the same as a fee simple estate, which is a freehold estate that is freely transferable and not subject to termination upon the death of the holder. Fee tail estates are not commonly used today, as they are seen as a form of restriction on the free transfer of property. However, they can still be found in some jurisdictions, and they can be a useful tool for preserving family land and ensuring that it remains in the family for generations to come. Main idea number 5. Life estate. A life estate is a freehold estate that is limited to the life of the holder. It is freely transferable and terminates upon the death of the holder. A life estate is a freehold estate that is limited to the life of the holder. It is a form of ownership that is created when a person conveys an interest in real property to another person for the duration of the holder's life. The holder of the life estate is known as the life tenant and has the right to possess and use the property during their lifetime. Upon the death of the life tenant, the life estate terminates and the property reverts back to the original owner or their heirs. The life tenant has the right to possess and use the property during their lifetime, but they do not have the right to sell or transfer the property. The life tenant also has the right to receive any income generated from the property, such as rent or profits from the sale of crops. The life tenant is also responsible for the upkeep and maintenance of the property, including paying any taxes or other expenses associated with the property. Life estates are freely transferable and can be passed on to another person through a will or other legal document. The life tenant can also choose to terminate the life estate at any time by conveying the property to another person or entity. Upon the death of the life tenant, the life estate terminates and the property reverts back to the original owner or their heirs. Main idea number 6. Non-freehold estates. Non-freehold estates are those that have a limited duration and are subject to termination by the act of any person. They include leaseholds, licenses, and easements. Non-freehold estates are those that have a limited duration and are subject to termination by the act of any person. They include leaseholds, licenses, and easements. Leaseholds are estates that are created when a tenant agrees to pay rent to a landlord in exchange for the right to occupy and use the property for a specified period of time. Licenses are agreements that allow a person to use another's property for a specific purpose, such as hunting or fishing. Easements are rights that allow a person to use another's property for a specific purpose, such as a right-of-way or access to a water source. All of these non-freehold estates are subject to termination by the act of any person, and they are not permanent. Leaseholds are the most common type of non-freehold estate. They are created when a tenant agrees to pay rent to a landlord in exchange for the right to occupy and use the property for a specified period of time. The tenant is given exclusive possession of the property during the term of the lease, and the landlord is not allowed to interfere with the tenant's use of the property. At the end of the lease term, the tenant must vacate the property and the landlord regains possession. Licenses are agreements that allow a person to use another's property for a specific purpose, such as hunting or fishing. The licensee is not given exclusive possession of the property, and the licensor is allowed to interfere with the licensee's use of the property. Licenses are revocable at any time by the licensor, and they are not transferable. Easements are rights that allow a person to use another's property for a specific purpose, such as a right-of-way or access to a water source. Easements are not exclusive, and the owner of the property is allowed to use the property for other purposes. Easements are also revocable at any time by the owner of the property, and they are not transferable. Main idea number 7. Leaseholds. A leasehold is a non-freehold estate that is created by a written agreement between a landlord and a tenant. It is a possessory interest in land that is held by the tenant for a specified period of time. Leaseholds are a form of non-freehold estate that is created when a landlord and tenant enter into a written agreement. The tenant is granted a possessory interest in the land for a specified period of time. During this period, the tenant has the right to use and occupy the land, subject to the terms of the lease. The tenant is also responsible for paying rent and any other obligations that are outlined in the lease. The landlord retains the right to terminate the lease if the tenant fails to comply with the terms of the agreement. Leaseholds are a popular form of real estate ownership because they provide tenants with the flexibility to use the land for a specific purpose without having to purchase the property outright. They also provide landlords with a steady stream of income from the rent payments. In addition, leaseholds can be used to transfer ownership of the land from one party to another without having to go through the process of buying and selling the property. Leaseholds are governed by the laws of the jurisdiction in which the property is located. It is important for both landlords and tenants to understand their rights and obligations under the lease agreement in order to ensure that their interests are protected. If either party fails to comply with the terms of the lease, they may be subject to legal action. Main idea number 8. Licenses. A license is a non-freehold estate that is created by an agreement between two parties. It is a personal privilege to do something on another's land that would otherwise be unlawful. A license is a non-freehold estate that is created by an agreement between two parties. It is a personal privilege to do something on another's land that would otherwise be unlawful. This could include activities such as hunting, fishing, or even building a structure. The agreement between the two parties is usually in the form of a written document, and it outlines the terms and conditions of the license. The license may be revocable or irrevocable, depending on the agreement between the parties. The licensor, or the party granting the license, is the owner of the land and has the right to revoke the license at any time. The licensee, or the party receiving the license, is the one who is granted the privilege to use the land. The licensee must abide by the terms and conditions of the license, and failure to do so could result in the revocation of the license. Licenses are important because they allow people to use land that they would not otherwise be able to use. They also provide a way for landowners to control how their land is used and to protect their rights. Licenses are also important for businesses, as they provide a way to protect their intellectual property and ensure that their products are not used without their permission. Main idea number 9. Easements. An easement is a non-freehold estate that is created by an agreement between two parties. It is a right to use another's land for a specific purpose. An easement is a non-freehold estate that is created by an agreement between two parties. It is a right to use another's land for a specific purpose. Easements can be either affirmative or negative. An affirmative easement grants the holder the right to do something on the land, such as the right to use a driveway or to access a water source. A negative easement restricts the holder from doing something on the land, such as the right to prevent a neighbor from building a structure that would block the holder's view. Easements can be created by express agreement between the parties, by implication, or by prescription. Easements are typically created for the benefit of a particular piece of land, such as a right-of-way or access to a water source. They can also be created for the benefit of a particular person, such as a right-of-way for a neighbor to access their property. Easements can be transferred from one party to another, and they can be terminated by agreement between the parties or by operation of law. Easements are an important part of real property law, as they provide a way for parties to use another's land for a specific purpose without having to own it. They are also a way for parties to protect their rights and interests in a piece of land. Main idea number 10. Covenants. A covenant is a promise made by one party to another that is enforceable by law. It is a binding agreement between two or more parties that creates an obligation to do or not do something. Covenants are an important part of real property law. They are promises made by one party to another that are legally enforceable. Covenants can be used to protect the interests of both parties in a real estate transaction. For example, a covenant may be used to ensure that a buyer will not use the property for any purpose other than what was agreed upon in the contract. Covenants can also be used to protect the interests of a lender, such as a bank, by requiring the borrower to maintain the property in a certain condition or to pay a certain amount of money in the event of a default. Covenants can also be used to protect the interests of a seller. For example, a covenant may be used to ensure that the buyer will not use the property for any purpose other than what was agreed upon in the contract. Additionally, a covenant may be used to ensure that the buyer will not make any changes to the property without the seller's consent. Covenants are an important part of real property law and can be used to protect the interests of both parties in a real estate transaction. It is important to understand the legal implications of covenants before entering into any real estate transaction. Main idea number 11. Estoppel. Estoppel is a legal doctrine that prevents a party from denying or contradicting a statement or action that has been previously made or taken. Estoppel is a legal doctrine that prevents a party from denying or contradicting a statement or action that has been previously made or taken. This doctrine is based on the principle that a person should not be allowed to go back on their word or to take advantage of their own wrong. Estoppel is used to prevent a party from asserting a right or a fact that is contrary to what they have previously stated or done. Estoppel is often used in real estate law to prevent a party from denying the validity of a contract or deed. For example, if a party has signed a deed conveying property to another party, they cannot later deny the validity of the deed. Similarly, if a party has made a statement in a contract, they cannot later deny the truth of that statement. Estoppel can also be used to prevent a party from asserting a right that is contrary to what they have previously stated or done. Estoppel is an important legal doctrine that helps to ensure that parties are held to their promises and statements. It is a powerful tool that can be used to protect the rights of parties in real estate transactions. Estoppel can also be used to prevent a party from taking advantage of their own wrongs or from denying the validity of a contract or deed. Main idea number 12. Adverse possession. Adverse possession is a legal doctrine that allows a person to acquire title to land by occupying it for a certain period of time. Adverse possession is a legal doctrine that allows a person to acquire title to land by occupying it for a certain period of time. This doctrine is based on the idea that if a person has been in possession of a piece of land for a long enough period of time, they should be allowed to acquire title to it. In order for a person to acquire title to land through adverse possession, they must meet certain requirements. These requirements vary from state to state, but generally include that the possession must be open, notorious, hostile, exclusive, and continuous for a certain period of time. The period of time required for a person to acquire title to land through adverse possession varies from state to state. Generally, the period of time required is between 5 and 20 years. In some states, the period of time required is even longer. In addition, some states have special rules for adverse possession of land that is owned by the government. Adverse possession is an important legal doctrine that allows a person to acquire title to land that they have been occupying for a certain period of time. It is important to understand the requirements for adverse possession in your state, as they can vary significantly. Main idea number 13. Partition. Partition is a legal process by which two or more co-owners of land can divide the land among themselves. Partition is a legal process by which two or more co-owners of land can divide the land among themselves. It is a remedy available to co-owners of land when they cannot agree on how to divide the land. Partition is a court-supervised process that allows the court to divide the land into separate parcels, each owned by one of the co-owners. The court will consider the interests of all the co-owners in determining how to divide the land. The court may also consider the value of the land, the size of the parcels, and the practicality of dividing the land into separate parcels. Partition is a complex process and can be expensive. The court will require the co-owners to provide detailed information about the land, including its size, value, and any improvements that have been made. The court will also require the co-owners to provide evidence of their respective interests in the land. The court will then determine how to divide the land in a way that is fair to all the co-owners. Partition is a powerful remedy for co-owners of land who cannot agree on how to divide the land. It allows the court to divide the land in a way that is fair to all the co-owners. However, it is important to remember that partition is a complex process and can be expensive. Therefore, it is important to consider all the options before deciding to pursue a partition action. Main idea number 14. Mortgages. A mortgage is a legal document that creates a lien on real property in order to secure a loan. A mortgage is a legal document that creates a lien on real property in order to secure a loan. This document is typically used when a borrower wishes to purchase a home or other real estate and needs to borrow money from a lender in order to do so. The mortgage document outlines the terms of the loan, including the amount of money borrowed, the interest rate, and the length of the loan. It also outlines the rights and responsibilities of both the borrower and the lender, including the lender's right to foreclose on the property if the borrower fails to make payments. The mortgage document also serves as a public record, so that anyone who searches the public records can see that the property is encumbered by a loan. The mortgage document is typically signed by both the borrower and the lender, and is then recorded with the local government. This recording serves to put the public on notice that the property is encumbered by a loan. The mortgage document also serves as a contract between the borrower and the lender, and outlines the terms of the loan, including the amount of money borrowed, the interest rate, and the length of the loan. The mortgage document also outlines the rights and responsibilities of both the borrower and the lender, including the lender's right to foreclose on the property if the borrower fails to make payments. Mortgages are an important part of the real estate market, as they provide a way for borrowers to purchase real estate without having to pay the full purchase price up front. They also provide a way for lenders to protect their investments, as they can foreclose on the property if the borrower fails to make payments. Mortgages are a complex legal document, and it is important for both borrowers and lenders to understand the terms of the mortgage before signing it. Main idea number 15. Liens. A lien is a legal claim against real property that is used to secure payment of a debt. A lien is a legal claim against real property that is used to secure payment of a debt. It is a form of security interest that is created and a creditor has a legal right to take possession of the property if the debt is not paid. The lien is typically created by a contract between the creditor and the debtor, and it is recorded in the public records. The lien gives the creditor the right to take possession of the property and sell it to satisfy the debt. The lien also gives the creditor the right to collect any proceeds from the sale of the property. The lien is a powerful tool for creditors, as it gives them the ability to collect on a debt even if the debtor does not have the funds to pay it. The lien also serves as a deterrent to debtors, as they know that if they do not pay the debt, the creditor can take possession of their property. In some cases, the lien may be used to prevent the debtor from selling or transferring the property until the debt is paid. The lien is an important part of the law of real property, and it is important for both creditors and debtors to understand how it works. It is important for creditors to understand the rights and obligations that come with a lien, and for debtors to understand the consequences of not paying a debt. Knowing the law of real property can help both parties protect their rights and interests. Main idea number 16. Zoning. Zoning is a system of laws that regulate the use of land in a particular area. Zoning is a system of laws that regulate the use of land in a particular area. It is used to control the development of land and to ensure that it is used in a way that is beneficial to the community. Zoning laws are typically created by local governments and are designed to promote public health, safety, and welfare. Zoning laws can be used to limit the types of activities that can take place in a certain area, such as prohibiting certain types of businesses or limiting the number of dwellings in a certain area. Zoning laws can also be used to protect the environment, such as by limiting the amount of pollution that can be released into the air or water. Zoning laws can also be used to protect the character of a neighborhood, such as by limiting the height of buildings or the types of materials that can be used in construction. Zoning laws are typically enforced by local governments, such as city or county governments. Zoning laws can be enforced through fines, injunctions, or other legal remedies. Zoning laws can also be enforced through zoning boards, which are typically composed of local citizens who review zoning applications and make decisions about whether or not to approve them. Zoning boards can also be used to review appeals of zoning decisions. Zoning laws are an important tool for local governments to ensure that land is used in a way that is beneficial to the community. Zoning laws can be used to protect the environment, promote public health and safety, and preserve the character of a neighborhood. Zoning laws can also be used to encourage economic development and to ensure that land is used in a way that is beneficial to the community. Main idea number 17. Eminent domain. Eminent domain is the power of the government to take private property for public use. Eminent domain is the power of the government to take private property for public use. This power is derived from the sovereign right of the state to take private property for public use, provided that the owner is justly compensated for the taking. The power of eminent domain is an inherent power of the state, and it is exercised by the legislature, or by its delegated authority, for the public benefit. The purpose of eminent domain is to promote the public welfare by providing for the construction of public works, such as roads, bridges, and public buildings. It is also used to acquire land for parks, schools, and other public facilities. The power of eminent domain is limited by the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution, which requires that the owner of the property be justly compensated for the taking. The power of eminent domain is an important tool for the government to use in order to promote the public welfare. It is important to remember, however, that the power of eminent domain should be used judiciously and only when necessary. The government should always strive to ensure that the owner of the property is justly compensated for the taking. Main idea number 18. Landlord-tenant law. Landlord-tenant law is a body of law that governs the rights and obligations of landlords and tenants. Landlord-tenant law is a body of law that governs the rights and obligations of landlords and tenants. It is a complex and ever-evolving area of law that is constantly changing to meet the needs of both landlords and tenants. Landlord-tenant law covers a wide range of topics, including the formation of rental agreements, the rights and obligations of landlords and tenants, the eviction process, and the remedies available to landlords and tenants in the event of a dispute. The law of landlord-tenant relationships is largely governed by state law, and each state has its own set of rules and regulations. Generally, the law requires landlords to provide tenants with a safe and habitable living space, and tenants must pay rent on time and comply with the terms of the lease. Landlords also have the right to evict tenants who fail to comply with the terms of the lease or who cause damage to the property. In addition to state law, there are also federal laws that govern landlord-tenant relationships. These laws include the Fair Housing Act, which prohibits discrimination in housing based on race, color, religion, sex, national origin, familial status, and disability, and the Americans with Disabilities Act, which requires landlords to make reasonable accommodations for tenants with disabilities. Landlord-tenant law is an important area of law that affects the lives of millions of people. It is important for both landlords and tenants to understand their rights and obligations under the law in order to ensure that their rights are protected and that their rental agreements are fair and equitable. Main idea number 19. Environmental law. Environmental law is a body of law that regulates the use of land in order to protect the environment. Environmental law is a complex and ever-evolving body of law that seeks to protect the environment from harm. It is designed to regulate the use of land, air, and water resources, as well as the disposal of hazardous materials. Environmental law also seeks to protect wildlife and plants, and to ensure that human activities do not cause undue harm to the environment. Environmental law is based on the principle of sustainable development, which seeks to balance economic growth with environmental protection. This means that economic activities must be conducted in a way that does not cause long-term damage to the environment. Environmental law also seeks to ensure that individuals and businesses are held accountable for any environmental damage they cause. Environmental law is enforced by both federal and state governments. Federal laws are generally more comprehensive and far-reaching than state laws, and they are enforced by the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA. State laws are enforced by state environmental agencies, and they may be more specific to the particular state. Environmental law is an important tool for protecting the environment and ensuring that economic activities are conducted in a sustainable manner. It is important for individuals and businesses to understand their obligations under environmental law, and to take steps to ensure that they are in compliance with the law. Main idea number 20. Real estate transactions. Real estate transactions are the legal process by which real property is bought, sold, and transferred. Real estate transactions involve a variety of legal documents and processes. The most common documents used in real estate transactions are deeds, mortgages, and leases. A deed is a legal document that transfers ownership of real property from one person to another. A mortgage is a loan secured by real property, and a lease is an agreement between a landlord and tenant that grants the tenant the right to occupy the property for a specified period of time. The process of real estate transactions begins with the negotiation of the terms of the transaction. This includes the purchase price, the terms of the loan, and any other conditions that must be met. Once the terms are agreed upon, the parties must execute the necessary documents to complete the transaction. This includes the deed, mortgage, and lease, if applicable. The documents must then be recorded with the local government to make the transaction official. Real estate transactions can be complex and involve a variety of legal issues. It is important to consult with an experienced real estate attorney to ensure that all of the necessary documents are properly executed and that all of the legal requirements are met.